I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh my goodness, you caught us in the middle of our Big Five. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Happy Hour kicks off here on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. joined us earlier from South Korea. He and Jesse Agler will have the call of tonight's season opening game between the Padres and the Dodgers. Game will get underway at 3:05 a.m.
Are you going to stop by and say hi to Sammy Lev on the way down like you told him last week?
Yeah. Sammy's doing the pregame show at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Since I live close,
you do.
I could sneak into the building here and surprise Sammy Lev with a visit while he's doing the pregame show on my way down to Seven Mile Casino.
Yes, I think you should. I think you should just stand outside the window for a second and scare the living
daylights out of him.
See how long
it is before he realizes I'm here?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. Hopefully, we'll see many of you down at the opening game viewing party, Seven Mile Casino, 3:05, this coming morning.
I think I finally got my plan, and I will reveal on the Scraby Show.
Scraby Chronicles, follow this show at 6 o'clock. Right now, 15 and a half minutes left. Wagner trying to win the first NCAA tournament game of the year, leading Howard 48-34. Winner of this game faces North Carolina in the first round on Thursday.
North Carolina does scare me because I've picked them before and they end up losing early or something. But didn't they win a couple years ago?
They got to the finals 2 years ago. Lost to Kansas.
Kansas, okay.
Yes. All right. Let's finish up the Big Five. What do you have in store for us here with maybe two or three stories to go?
Some fantastic stuff, and there's actually two more to go, I believe.
Okay.
Or three more to go. Here we go.
Number three.
So we talked about Justin Fields being traded to the Steelers yesterday. Now we are hearing the reaction from some teammates, and let's just say everyone was not as excited as Bears management was for this trade. Tight end and friend of Justin Fields, Cole Kmet, said, quote, "I was planning to..." This was about St. Patrick's Day. Quote, "I was planning to hit the city and go out, but then I got a call from Flus," their head coach, "and the people with the Bears, and decided to stay in after the news with Justin. Obviously, really upsetting that it came to that and where it was at that moment, but you kind of felt like the writing was on the wall with that," end quote. Chris, how much does a team need to keep their players aware of what's happening?
I think the good teams do it. The not as good of teams don't care about it. I don't think you have to do anything. But I think it's pretty cool if you keep people and make them feel like they're in the loop.
Yeah.
Just makes you a better organization, that's all. So if you're asking me how much do you have to keep people in the loop, I'd say you don't have to keep them in the loop at all. But I think it's very beneficial.
Yeah, I agree. If you don't need to, like the punter probably doesn't need to know about Justin Fields being traded. But
he doesn't, but it's nice just even if he knows. It's nice when you feel part of the group. I've always felt that, you know, teamwork is an important thing. Yeah,
yeah,
it makes the dream work, right. But I think it matters.
I think it does too.
So when they make a move around here, you know, I like to know.
It is a little jolting when you see something on social media and you're like, whoa,
I work there and I don't even know it.
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah.
So, it is good on the Bears for doing that. Still think the Bears are pretty dumb for trading Justin Fields for a six-round pick.
I just wouldn't have traded Justin Fields. I would have traded the number one pick and I would have taken Marvin Harrison, but that's me.
Yes, that is you and I. But how much does the team need to keep their players aware of what's happening? Just, you know, Adam does a really good job of this because...
Adam Klug.
Yes, Adam Klug, our boss. It is nice to know things before they go public because all of a sudden these things go public and then you're inundated with questions and you're like, I'm still trying to figure out what the heck happened myself. So the Bears, I'm surprised that the Bears were good in this way, Chris. I didn't expect it.
Yeah, they're not a great organization, as their record proves.
Yes. Floose.
Number two.
Not ever floose. All right, so John Rahm is the reigning Masters champion, and he, every year, the winner gets to pick the dinner for before the event, and here is his dinner. It's all stuff from his home in Spain, so...
Paella?
Please don't get on me for these pronunciations.
Paella?
We'll see.
What?
I
he has to have paella. From Spain, you have to have it.
The tapas and pinzos, I think those are appetizers, right?
Tapas?
Yeah. Ibericos? Ugh, man, I'm really going to make myself look stupid here. Ibericos, which is acorn-fed Iberian ham, cured pork loin. Idas of all con trufa negra.
Oh, boy.
Idas of all cheese, black truffle. Tortilla de patatas, a Spanish omelet, onions, confit, potatoes. Croqueta de pollo, creamy chicken fritters. Lentejas estofadas.
Ooh.
Mama Rahm's classic lentil stew. Chistorra con patata. Spicy basque chorizo potato. First course. That's the appetizers.
Those are all appetizers?
Yes, first course is...
Wait a minute. I mean, how much money does the Masters have?
A lot.
They just put millions of dollars into this meal every year?
Yes, a lot.
All right.
The first course is ensalada de shangoro. I really pronounced that wrong, which is crab salad and a potato.
Okay.
Main course...
Just give us the Americanized version of it.
There is no Americanized version, and that's so American of you to say.
Yes, it
main
is.
Main course...
But I'm trying to save you from having to pronounce all these names.
I have to. This is what we get. The main course, you get a choice of chuletón a la parrilla, which is Basque ribeye, tudela lettuce, piquillo peppers, and rotobio al pio pio.
Okay. Man. Remind me next year to not be so interested in knowing what the menu is. I thought when you said I'm gonna give you the menu, you're gonna say they're gonna have some
steak.
Macaroni and cheese, some steak, and a salad. I didn't know this was gonna be a 4-hour dissertation.
I didn't know this either, and I'm making a fool of myself. Navarro white asparagus is that one, and then the dessert is milhojas de crema y nata, puff pastry cake, custard, and chantilly cream.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is a lot, but.
That
all sounds pretty delicious,
stuff.
I gotta say.
I guess it does. I don't know what the hell it is.
I don't either. You were in Spain recently.
Yeah, I didn't have any of that stuff. All I had was paella.
Junior says, Scraby started strong. Yes, I did.
You faded badly.
You faded badly. All right, here we go to the final one.
Number one.
All John Rahm really wanted to talk about was how he's in LIV Golf and they ought to be part of the world rankings.
Yeah.
That's all he's really interested in. He's not interested in the rest of this stuff. He wants to be ranked.
He does, and it doesn't actually really matter.
And they don't
him.
Rank the LIV golfers.
No. Anthony Edwards of the Timberwolves did this last night when his Timberwolves visited the Utah Jazz.
Attempt in that first half. Another turnover for Utah. Edwards gets it back!
I gotta say, this was one of the better dunks I've seen in a very long time. If you haven't seen it, go look for Anthony Edwards dunk. That's the search term. He dunked so hard, Chris, I think he dislocated his finger in the process.
He also gave the guy he dunked on a head contusion.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
John, whatever his name was.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Collins.
Because was it like a knee to the face? It did not look easy, actually.
Wow.
Anyway, Anthony Edwards just doing crazy things. It reminds me of this.
I've never seen anyone ever do that!
Which was pretty incredible by Donovan Mitchell when he was with the Jazz. Anyway, long story short, Chris, where do you rank posterization dunks on the list of athletic feats?
Very low.
Oh, low. Sorry, very low.
Very low.
Really?
I'm not blown away by them that much anymore. It goes along the category of everything's a reality show. Nowadays, everybody can dunk on somebody. It doesn't shock me the way it used to. It doesn't get me out of my seat the way it used to. Everybody thinks it's the greatest thing they've ever seen. I've now seen it 1,000 times. Ant-Man's was pretty good last night.
It was really good.
That was about as good as something needs to be to get my attention now. Because I see dunks These guys can do it in their sleep. How about making a 15-foot open jumper? You know, that's what I'd like to see. How about somebody making a bounce pass and a backdoor cut? That's what I like to see. I know, I'm old, get off my lawn, I get it. But that's my point. It's, you know, it's reality TV now. Everybody does it. Dunking, everybody does it. The one thing, the most overrated thing in sports, well, that's a heavy category. The most overrated thing in basketball, though, is swatting a shot, blocking it right out of bounds.
Why?
You know, because the other team gets the ball back.
Okay,
you didn't do anything.
No,
you didn't
right.
change the course of
yes,
anything.
You did. You changed the course of that shot.
That's it. The other team gets the ball back. Now, if you block it and keep it in play and your team gets a fast break the other way, now you've made a tremendous play.
You've swayed me a little bit. I think posterizations like that, like Anthony Edwards from last night.
I think they used to intimidate the opposition.
Yeah.
I don't think they do anymore because everyone does it. I mean, Austin Reeves of the Lakers.
Yeah. I was just about to
basically got jumped over last
yes.
night and dunked on. And after the game, he was laughing.
Well, you have to laugh.
But my point is he was posterized, but was he intimidated? I doubt it.
That's
everybody dunks. It's not a big deal anymore. Sorry, I'm old.
Posterizations are still cool to see in clip format. I don't need to watch a game for a posterization, but if a posterization happens, I will watch the posterization.
All right. So how highly do you rank it then? I didn't get your...
It's in the top 10.
Top 10.
No, I'm top 15. Right. You swayed me a little bit there.
I don't know. It's like hitting a 400-yard drive. It's pretty impressive. You go, whoa! But you know what? If you don't have any accuracy on your chip shot, it didn't do you a whole lot of good.
Look at you with
the
golf analogy.
A dunk is still worth 2 points. You don't get any extra.
A dunk shot?
A dunk shot.
I remember when Chris said that years and years and years ago when we first started, and Tony and I both looked at each other like,
you thought that was hilarious.
Did you just say dunk shot?
Slam dunk. You know, made up that term?
Chicky.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A?
Practically all of the terms in basketball that we just take for granted were invented by Chick Hearn. Slam dunk.
Ooh.
No such thing before Chick Hearn came around.
Junior has a good point. It's like a bat flip now, just a normal celebration, like a posterization.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, a posterization dunk takes a lot more talent than a bat flip. It's
a pretty impressive thing
to do.
You still have to hit the home run.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we got through that, Chris.
We did?
Yes.
We're done?
That's it. That's it for the Big Five.
That's it for the Big Five. Let's check traffic, come back. Elijah Saunders of the Aztecs basketball team joined us earlier. Whether or not he enjoyed it may be a different story, but I think he did. We certainly liked visiting with him. We'll have that interview coming up in this happy hour. Stick around. More Gwen and Chris on the way after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got a quick question for you, Scrape. As we come back to the program, 5:20 is the time. Wagner 62, Howard 49. About 8 minutes to go in the first NCAA tournament game, if you're keeping track of such things. And don't tell me you're not keeping track of such things, because we're all going to be keeping track of such things this week. That's what we do.
That's what you do.
Oh, get out of here, Scrape. You don't think everybody does? Why does everybody fill out a bracket then? You make it sound like I'm the only one who does this. Everybody gets excited. Everybody walks around the office, wherever they are, and goes, I'm 9-4. Oh, man, I'm 7-6.
I'm 11-2.
My bracket's busted.
My bracket's busted. They throw it out. And then your wife walks in, 13-0. You know. So, don't tell me that. Everybody does a bracket. That's what we do in this country.
Chris's wife picked San Diego State to go to the championship last year.
She did not.
I thought she did.
No. She won the bracket at work a couple of years ago.
Oh, I thought
last year she came in second.
Well, that's my bad.
She did not pick the Aztecs to go quite that far. I don't think anyone did.
My bad.
Do you know what Tariq Skubal is?
Oh, why do I know that name?
How about Cole Reagans?
I know Tariq Skubal better.
You do?
Yes.
Who is it?
Is he a baseball player?
Not only that, he's an opening day starter
for
the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, that's where I've heard it.
Cole Reagans, opening day starter for the Kansas City Royals. Alex Wood, 33-year-old lefty. Opening day starter for the Oakland Athletics.
Ugh.
I don't know if this means anything to you, but baseball is trying to make this a big deal now. Have you noticed
this? The opening day starter?
They announced, all the teams announced their opening day starters today. And baseball rolled this out as some way of getting us all excited for opening day next Thursday. We now know who everyone's going to start.
I think this is a good idea.
I must tell you, I don't think it's working.
Why? Because I didn't know.
Well, first of all, the Padres didn't have to name one yet.
No. Well, no, they did last week.
For today. For this game.
Oh,
but
yes.
They didn't have to name one for next week's game.
I know. It's so confusing that they
Giants,
have two games.
Yeah, they have two opening days. The Giants have already named. Logan Webb will start the opening game here next Thursday. That was part of the announcements that were made today. The Padres don't have to name theirs yet.
All right.
Anyway,
I
don't think it's a big thing.
I don't want to.
I'm glad baseball's trying.
There
to be
it is.
A big deal. At least they're trying.
And that's exactly what it is. Like with the spring breakout thing, even though it failed miserably for the Padres and Mariners because the
game
that
wasn't
was
their
out,
fault. It rained out. Yeah,
they still are trying to promote the game, to grow the game. So they're following through on what they have been saying they're trying to do. And I think this is good because. If I saw an article that said opening day starters, I would have clicked on it, and I would have learned.
There you go. The best opening day matchup probably is Philadelphia and Atlanta. Zach Wheeler for the Phillies, Spencer Strider for
That's
the Braves.
One. That's
in
really
Philadelphia. Corbin Burns will start for...
The fourth place Orioles?
The fourth place Orioles, yeah. Somebody picked them fourth the
David
other day.
Schoenfeld.
We're like, what? Fourth.
Yeah, that was pretty...
I don't like that pick.
Pretty crazy.
All right. Aztecs will get in gear on Friday. We have our interview with Elijah Saunders coming up shortly, but Brian Dutcher faced the media. Was it today?
Yes.
Our Adam Klug was out there at the Montezuma Mesa to get the latest from Coach Dutch. First thing from last year's national championship game mentor... What did last year mean in terms of hopefully applying some of it this year?
You know, 2 years ago when we got beat by Creighton at the end, everyone was thinking we could never win a game. Now that we've gone to the national championship, no one thinks we're going to lose a game. So every year is different. Every team is different. So we'll roll out there and hopefully play really good basketball.
You mentioned that you thought some of the Mountain West teams were undefeated. Does that give you more freedom to maybe push a pause on the 20-game schedule?
Well, we're going to play 20 games. We continue to schedule anybody we can. And our wins over Gonzaga and St. Mary's are probably a large reason why we got the seed we got. And not afraid to take road trips to BYU, Grand Canyon. But in the same breath, I mean, Colorado beat Creighton in Colorado's University of Colorado this year. Those are two really good wins. Quad one wins, I think. So I don't know what their thoughts were. The Mountain West, like I said, Nevada beat TCU on a neutral court. So it wasn't like anybody was ducking anybody. So I'd be interested to hear what the committee thinks about all that again.
Doesn't really matter what the committee thinks of all that. I mean, although I agree with Coach Dutcher for sure. It doesn't really matter what the committee thinks about that. What really matters is that the Mountain West Conference teams win some games this week. That's what matters. Do you realize that in the last couple of years, the Mountain West Conference record in the NCAA tournament, if you take out
abysmal,
the Aztecs,
abysmal.
If you take out what the Aztecs did last year, 0-11.
It's abysmal.
Nobody's won a game. Somebody's got to win some games this year. in order for the Mountain West to reap the benefits of this year and the six teams that got in. And, you know, I just love Coach Dutcher's attitude because he's so right. When they lost to Creighton, there were people that honestly thought it was time to change coaches.
I remember
this. He's never going to win a tournament game. He lost to Houston. He lost to Syracuse. He lost to Creighton. He didn't get a chance to go the year the 30-2 team.
Yeah.
Like, when are we going to get a guy in here who can win an NCAA tournament game?
Well,
apparently we already had one.
Yes.
Because he won five of them last year.
I think the loss to Syracuse paired with the loss to Creighton. Syracuse was a major downer, a bummer.
Yeah.
And because we were all very excited, and the game was over before it started.
Wow, Buddy Boeheim made
every single shot.
Has he made a shot since?
I don't think.
I don't know where he is, but he's, you know, anyway.
Yeah
he was
I'm
so
going to go
hot.
Look up where Buddy Boeheim is.
Find him, will you? He's probably with Jimmer Fredette somewhere.
in China, maybe?
I don't know.
He is, actually, he plays for the Pistons.
He does?
I guess so.
Really?
All right. He's a Detroit Pistons forward. He averages 1.6 points per game.
Wow. He's having a huge impact. Maybe the Pistons ought to think about putting him in.
Maybe.
I mean, they've won like five games all year. Maybe that's the reason.
They're not putting him in to just drain every three.
Yeah, put him in. Maybe that would change things for the Pistons.
It's funny with Coach Dutcher, though, because we did go through that phase of, some people went through that phase of, get him out of here, let's get a new guy.
Yeah, we had Fisher, we were great, now we got this guy, he's not as good, he's a wannabe.
And then
it's amazing how we're able to change that narrative.
Yeah,
based
because
on
it
what
went
happened.
To it yeah. went to oh, we got to keep him. We can't let anybody steal him.
No, he's the greatest coach of all time.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, he's the same coach now as he was before he won those tournament games last year.
Same exact guy.
Same guy. And that's what I appreciate about Coach Dutcher. He hasn't changed.
Not at all.
And he recognizes that's just the way it is in the world of a big time college basketball coach.
I'm going to go check baseballlineups.com.
Are you really?
Yeah,
to see if the Padres have been... You know, Tony was on with us from South Korea earlier, and the first thing I asked him was whether or not he knew the lineup for tonight, and he said, yeah, I know it, but I can't share it with anybody.
He enjoyed that, too.
He really did.
He was like,
I was so upset. I really want to know the lineup so badly.
It's not out yet.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not out for anybody else. Tony's the only one who knows the Padre lineup. So frustrating.
He did give us a little hint. He didn't say if Grand Pauly was going to start or not, but he said Grand Pauly was in the elevator and he was very smiley.
Smiling ear to ear.
Yes, with Mike Schill.
Ear to ear.
That's right.
Yeah, he was. But Tony made it seem like he was just happy because he was informed that he made the team.
Yeah. That is kind of unfortunate that he called his parents and no one answered from Korea.
It's middle of the night.
It is the middle of the night, but
you'd want to tell your parents,
yeah,
hey, I made the team.
I'm not blaming his mom for anything, so please don't get that twisted, everybody. But I think my mom would be waiting up for my phone call.
Yeah, but how do we know that that was the official time where they were going to decide?
No, I get it. I'm not saying that his parents did anything wrong, but I think my mom's waiting next to the phone for my phone call. So, Mom, get a life. I'm just kidding.
All right, we got a break. Elijah Saunders, our interview with the Aztec forward when we come back on Gwen and Chris. Hello, hello. Final segment, Gwen and Chris. I heard that somewhere. I just said that very thing before Scraby actually turned the microphones on.
Scraby, so. The Scrabinators of the Scraby Show know that I often start the segment screaming to myself and realize that I have not turned on the microphone yet.
The Scrabinators.
That's
the listeners to the Scraby Chronicles.
Yes.
Show comes up at 6 o'clock tonight. What do you have in store for us today? What's your daily gripe? Are you going to share or do you know yet? Don't have to.
No, I'm not going to share because it has to do with something that happens to me often on this show.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Maybe I'm not. I'm sorry, everybody.
Wow.
I go back and forth.
You are.
Back and forth.
All right.
But we're going to talk about everything.
Daily gripe coming up from Mr. Scraby to wrap things up in the Scraby Chronicles. I hear the show's pretty good.
Do you hear it is?
Yeah. I've listened to it a little bit here and there, and I liked it.
I got to say, I get nervous when people that I know, like you or even our boss, when I know that people are listening, like our sales guy, Peter. came by one day. He was leaving. I was in a commercial break. He said, hey, see you later. I'll be listening to you on the way home. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
You didn't want to know that.
No, is that weird? Because there's a bunch of other people listening, but I don't want that one person to listen. I don't know.
Most everything about you is weird.
Yeah, I'm a strange person, I know.
Yeah, I find it interesting and weird. They're under 4 minutes to play. Howard is trying to come back against Mr. Wagner. Wagner still leads by 7, 67-60. They were up by 17 earlier in the second half. Colorado State still to come against Virginia later tonight. Elijah Saunders from the Aztecs joined us earlier. We'll have that interview shortly. Before we get to that, Scravy wants to know what I think the Padres' record is going to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
That is a tough one, right?
I mean, really,
predict it right on the head?
No, it's tough.
You know, I mean, are you going to remember this?
Sure.
Number one. Number two, when are we doing our preseason pick segment with Tony? I mean, we got to get him back from Korea.
These are the things that go through my head on the drive home, and it stresses me out.
Yeah. We're going to have to do it next week. We got to have our picks. We got to have our players of the division. We got to have our biggest busts.
Yeah.
We got to have our MVPs. Yeah. We got to have our
Breakout star,
first place, last place. And then it's just embarrassing how bad we are every year.
Yes.
I mean, it's incredible. We always revisit it at the end of the year, and we're like, how did we think that?
I know, but some of the thoughts are good, and some of them are like
not
me
so good.
Last year saying Nestor Cortez is going to be the Cy Young of the AL East.
Yeah.
Didn't even come close.
No. Oftentimes, they don't come close.
No. I overthought it last year.
But as far as the Padre record, I'll give you one. Now, I'm on record as saying they're going to be better than last year.
Yes.
So last year was 82-80, right?
Yeah.
Two.
You're going to 83?
I'm going to 85.
85, okay.
There you go. 85-77. I think that gets you into the playoffs in the National League. But it's, you know, again, it's hard to predict.
It is.
Because they could have six teams with a better record than that, or you could not have six teams with a better record than that. It just depends on how the season goes. So I'll say 85-77. I'd like you to put that down somewhere.
Okay, let me get my notebook.
Oh, brother, you're actually going to write it down somewhere?
Yeah.
If I wrote it down, I wouldn't know where to look for it.
That's surprising because you're kind of our record keeper a little bit because
that's
you're
true.
So good with that stuff.
Yeah, I am good.
I mean, look at my notebook, everybody. It's just a bunch of scribbles and things of that nature.
Your notebook's a veritable disaster.
All right, you said 85-77.
What do you have?
AJ Casavell, by the way, said 83-79.
AJ Casavell has a one-game improvement.
See, okay. I don't want to go crazy, but I feel... But I feel like 88 games is not a crazy change for this team. I know that they lost players. I'm going to be optimistic. And I'm going to say 87. And
87-75.
Okay.
You're going all the way to 87.
Yes.
I will say this. On the surface, it's almost impossible to believe that the Padres could be better this year. They're losing one of the best hitters in the game, one of the best pitchers in the game, and one of the best closers in the game. And there's no argument. Soto, Snell, Hader. Three of the superstar players in all of baseball.
Yeah.
They've lost them all. And to look at that and say, yeah, I think they're going to be better, is kind of silly. But I'm banking my prediction on the fact that they just... I'm not going to say it anymore because somebody said yesterday, Chris, don't say water finds its level ever again. And I agree with that person who said that because we kept waiting last year and it never happened. But I do think that it's going to even out. They're going to win some one-run games. They're going to get some hits with runners in scoring position. So that's what I'm banking on.
Wolfpack says 105 wins.
Yeah, well, Wolfpack, you're...
Optimistic.
Yeah, you're optimistic.
All right.
Silliest thing I've heard all day, Wolfpack, other than the fact my wife originally picked Creighton to win this year's... Or no, Clemson.
Yes, that is funny.
She picked Clemson to pick the to win the pool. I said, honey, you're going to have to redo your picks.
I didn't even know Clemson was in the tournament.
Clemson's not winning the tournament. Sorry. They're not going to be national champs.
That was really funny. Chris comes in, he throws down the sheet, and he was like, I had to tell her. I had to tell her.
You had to tell her. You got to redo your picks. All right, let's take a break. Or not a break. Let's check traffic. And then our interview with Aztec forward Elijah Saunders. I hope you enjoyed as much as we enjoyed it the first time around. Good to have you on the show.
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. All right, I know that you guys are focused on the job at hand. You got to, you know, Friday and everything, and we're going to ask you about that. But I can't help but go back to the picture of you and Miles Byrd racing off the bench to celebrate with Lamont Butler. I know it's been brought up to you. Is there anything you guys can take from last year's run to the championship game that might be able to help this year's team?
Yeah, I would just I would say the main thing was the perseverance of last year's team. A lot of games I felt like we were down at halftime even. Just understanding that the game is never over. You know, that's the one thing I took from last year's team. Anytime we were down or struggling or couldn't score, you know, the guys were always positive and always believed that, you know, if we get stops, we're eventually going to score and come back and we can win every game.
Talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. They are going to be playing on Friday against UAB. And just to kind of stay with last year's team, I guess what I am curious about, because you were a freshman last year, you go to the national championship in your first year. That's awesome. That's very cool. What can you take from that experience, do you think, for the rest of your career? Because that came at the beginning of your college career, and I'm sure you probably learned something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely not what I expected my first year to be like, to go to the national championship. But, you know, it was a great experience. And, you know, it really just showed me this year, especially how hard it is to do it. You know, last year we won the conference in league play. We won the conference championship. You know, we went to the Final Four. So that's really all I expect. I expect to win the league. I expect to win the league title, and we didn't do it this year. You know, it just shows you how much work goes into winning and being successful, and you know, how much just how important, you know, the work is.
Elijah, take us if you can, you know, into the locker room a little bit, and who's been speaking up this week? Is it Tramell, Ladee, Lamont Butler? If you guys just relied on Coach Dutcher, what's kind of being said around the guys as you head into this, you know, into another run here in March?
Yeah, all those guys. you know, a couple of weeks ago, Micah talked to some of the guys after practice one day. Just, you know, this is important to us. You know, last year's team, you know, we're a new team. You know, we're a different group. Still some of the same guys, but, you know, everyone has something to prove. And, you know, knowing that this is, you know, Darion's for sure last run, Jaden's last run, Jay Powell, you know, they're out of eligibility after this year. So, you know, the next game we lose would be their last. So, you know, just kind of give it all we got for them and, you know, come together right now as, you know, before we make a run in this tournament.
Talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. And Elijah, you guys, not by design, but you do get behind and then you make furious comebacks. Is there any, like, what does Coach Dutcher tell you when you guys are down by, say, 12, 14 points? What does he tell you to get you back into the game?
Just keep defending. Keep being patient on offense. You know, I feel like in games where we've gone down and not been able to come back and win were games where we kind of were less connected as a team. So, you know, we don't want to be down, but when it happens, just come together as a team and, you know, get stops and play together on offense and we'll be good.
You know, Elijah, I mean, you're giving us heart attacks in all of these games by falling behind by so much. So stop doing that, will you? Please tell everybody that Uncle Chris said to stop falling behind. Elijah Saunders is with us. And, you know, you were one of the guys that, you know, from last year's team that was able to, you know, make it into the starting lineup this year. And, I mean, you know, what a thrill to join the starting lineup with Lamont Butler and with Tramell and Micah and Jaden Ladee and everybody coming off a national championship run. And, you know, I thought you did great. And then you had a little bit of a slump, and Brian Dutch decided to bring you off the bench. And that seems to really kind of work for you. Talk a little bit about your journey, personal journey this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Even as you go into last season, you know, coming from high school, you know, always starting all those years and then, you know, not even touching the court for the end of the season last year. And, you know, it felt like no one had seen me play, like, especially my family. Like, you know, I feel like it had been so long since my family had seen me play. So, you know, I wanted to start this year. That was my goal, you know, even though, you know, not many people might have thought I would have started in that Bullington game. You know, that was my goal. But, you know, starting, I thought it was going to, you know, be the greatest thing ever, you know, make me the happiest person ever. But, you know, that's not what it's all about. It's just about coming in and competing and being in the right headspace when you check into the game. You know, I feel like in my worst part of the season this year was the time where I was really just focused on the wrong things in the game, you know, overcomplicating it. So, just refocusing on my headspace this season throughout times and, you know, trying to do whatever it takes for us to win because that's all that's important at the end of the day.
It is. That's very wise stuff from you, Elijah. We're talking to Elijah Saunder of the Aztecs basketball team. And my last question for you is, when your college basketball career is all over, said and done, how would you like to be remembered by Aztecs fans?
Man,
that's a deep question, Elijah.
Yeah.
I put you on the spot a little bit. I apologize for that.
I would say a winner.
There you go. Know,
I would say I'm good. Yeah. I would say I'm off to a good start.
Yes.
But you know, someone who you know just always has a smile on their face. You know, I just love to play this game. I'm blessed, you know, with this opportunity to be at such an amazing school and, you know, such amazing coaches and teammates that, you know, just a winner, someone who's values winning more than anything and someone who just enjoys to play the game.
I don't know what I'm going to do with Scraby over here asking all these deep thought questions, but you answered it very well. Elijah Saunders is with us. I remember that guy, Elijah Saunders. He was on all of those Final Four teams.
There you go.
He was on all
perfect. That's exactly what they need to say.
There you go. He was on all of those Final Four teams. Elijah, we talked to some people from Birmingham today. Just get a little scouting report. I'm sure you've seen a lot of film. Sounds like they play a lot of switching defense, some 1-3-1. Offensively, you guys, you know, it's been a little inconsistent. Where are you guys focusing your efforts heading into this game and practice this week?
Yeah, in practice today we saw a bunch of defenses. You know, we had a lot of live segments where we just attacked them differently. They switched defenses throughout the entire game. You know, you might see a 1-3-1, 2-3, man-to-man. They might extend it to the full court, 2-2-1. So it's a lot. But, you know, it's a style that we haven't really seen this year. But, you know, we'll be prepared. We've already come up with ways how we're going to attack each defense. And, you know, whatever's thrown at us, we'll be prepared for.
Well, I tell you one thing. None of us, even the most ardent of Aztec for lifers, and I consider myself to be one of those people, having gone to San Diego State, none of us were prepared for what you guys took us through last year. It was a wild ride. It was about the most fun I've ever had as a fan. And I'm hoping, why not do it again? We really appreciate you coming on the show today. I talked to Richard, the media relations guy, and he said, you know, Elijah is a very well-spoken, well-thought-out young man. And Richard was right.
Yes,
we appreciate having you on the show, Elijah. Good luck this weekend. We will be watching. And we'll look forward to hopefully catching up with you down the road here.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Very good. Elijah Saunders right there. Did a good job in the face of difficult questioning from one Matt Scraby there.
I will give him credit. He came up with
a good answer.
Yes, he did.
An almost an impossible question from you. All right. The first final in the NCAA tournament is in the books. It's all over. for the Howard Bison. They have been eliminated. The Wagner Seahawks, 71, Howard 68. Pretty good finish. Howard came from way behind.
Yes, it did.
Got back in the game, had three chances to make a three-pointer and tie the game at the end. Missed them all. Missed them all. So Wagner will go on to face North Carolina. The next game in the first round, Colorado State going up against Virginia. That'll get underway in about a half an hour. But the tournament is officially underway, and for that, I'm quite thankful and excited.
How long does that shot stay with you if you're the guy who misses it?
Hopefully not too long.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same guy who missed all three.
Yeah, if that was the case, that would have been tough.
That would be tough. But
you can't ask for a better finish for your team to get three opportunities.
You know, I saw a statistic the other day on Twitter that I thought was interesting. Do you know who missed the most shots in the history of NBA basketball? Who missed the most shots?
Kobe. Yeah.
Nobody's ever missed more shots than one of the greatest players in the history of the sport.
That tells you something, right?
Yeah, it does. Right?
Yeah. I'm surprised.
Gotta be willing to take a shot to make some. You're gonna miss a few.
He missed a lot.
He missed a lot. Now, I guess LeBron is closing in on that record because he's been around for so long.
Yes.
But right now, that record still belongs to Kobe Bean Bryant. Not exactly the worst player, just missed the most shots.
Yeah, it's impressive to take the most shots, too.
Well, there you have it.
LeBron's going to break all those records.
LeBron's breaking them all. My goodness, he's not saving any for anyone else.
He is nuts.
What a hog.
What a ball hog.
A ball hog. One last thing before we go. We have a minute on this. ESPN agreeing with college football in the playoff on a television exclusive broadcast rights deal.
Yeah.
That will last through the 2031 season.
Hopefully the Earth is still around then. Why did you
That's
stop?
A fair comment, actually, okay. The way things are going. It is a six-year agreement that will cost $1.3 billion annually.
Oh, annually. I was like, wait, I saw a much bigger number.
Oh, yeah, annually. No, okay. It's going to be like a lot of money.
Hurting.
You wonder why, you know, everybody's got so much money out there. Because TV pays for it. That's why. Scraby's next. He's got the Chronicle. Good to have you on the show.
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. All right. I know that you guys are focused on the job at hand. You got to, you know, Friday and everything, and we're going to ask you about that. But I can't help but go back to the picture of you and Miles Byrd racing off the bench to celebrate with Lamont Butler. I know it's been brought up to you. Is there anything you guys can take from last year's run to the championship game that might be able to help this year's team?
Yeah, I would say the main thing was the perseverance of last year's team. A lot of games, I felt like we were down at halftime even. Just understanding that the game is never over. You know, that's the one thing I took from last year's team. Anytime we were down or struggling or couldn't score, you know, the guys were always positive and always believed that, you know, if we get stops, we're eventually going to score and come back and we can win every game.
Talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. They are going to be playing on Friday against UAB. And just to kind of stay with last year's team, I guess what I am curious about, because you were a freshman last year, you go to the national championship in your first year. That's awesome. That's very cool. What can you take from that experience, do you think, for the rest of your career? Because that came at the beginning of your college career, and I'm sure you probably learned something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely not what I expected my first year to be like, to go to the national championship. But, you know, it was a great experience. And, you know, it really just showed me this year, especially how hard it is to do it. You know, last year we won the conference in league play. We won the conference championship. You know, we went to the Final Four. So that's really all I expect. I expect to win the league. I expect to win the league title. And we didn't do it this year. You know, it just shows you how much work goes into winning and being successful and, you know, how much, just how important, you know, the work is.
Elijah, take us, if you can, you know, into the locker room a little bit. And who's been speaking up this week? Is it Tramiel, Ladee, Lamont Butler? If you guys just relied on Coach Dutcher, what's kind of being said around the guys as you head into this, you know, into another run here in March?
Yeah, all those guys. you know, a couple of weeks ago, Micah talked to some of the guys after practice one day. Just, you know, this is important to us. You know, last year's team, you know, we're a new team. You know, we're a different group. Still some of the same guys, but, you know, everyone has something to prove. And, you know, knowing that this is, you know, Darion's for sure last run, Jaden's last run, Jay Powell, you know, they're out of eligibility after this year. So, you know, the next game we lose would be their last. So, you know, just trying to give it all we got for them and, you know, come together right now is, you know, before we make a run in this tournament.
Talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. And Elijah, you guys, not by design, but you do get behind and then you make furious comebacks. What does Coach Dutcher tell you when you guys are down by, say, 12, 14 points? What does he tell you to get you back into the game?
Just keep defending. Keep being patient on offense. You know, I feel like in games where we've gone down and not been able to come back and win were games where we kind of were less connected as a team. So, you know, we don't want to be down, but when it happens, just come together as a team and, you know, get stops and play together on offense and we'll be good.
You know, Elijah, I mean, you're giving us heart attacks in all of these games by falling behind by so much. So stop doing that, will you? Please tell everybody that Uncle Chris said to stop falling behind. Elijah Saunders is with us. And, you know, you were one of the guys that, you know, from last year's team that was able to, you know, make it into the starting lineup this year. And, I mean, you know, what a thrill to join the starting lineup with Lamont Butler and with Tramiel and Micah and Jaden Ladee and everybody coming off a national championship run. And, you know, I thought you did great. And then you had a little bit of a slump, and Brian Dutch decided to bring you off the bench. And that seems to really kind of work for you. Talk a little bit about your journey, personal journey this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Even as you go into last season, you know, coming from high school, you know, always starting all those years and then, you know, not even touching the court for the end of the season last year. And, you know, it felt like no one had seen me play, like, especially my family. Like, you know, I feel like it had been so long since my family had seen me play. So, you know, I wanted to start this year. That was my goal, you know, even though, you know, not many people might have thought I would have started in that Philadelphia game. You know, that was my goal. But, you know, starting, I thought it was going to, you know, be the greatest thing ever, you know, make me the happiest person ever. But, you know, that's not what it's all about. It's just about coming in and competing and being in the right headspace when you check into the game. You know, I feel like in my worst part of the season this year was a time where I was really just focused on the wrong things in the game, you know, overcomplicating it. So, just refocusing on my headspace this season throughout times and, you know, trying to do whatever it takes for us to win, because that's all that's important at the end of the day.
It is. That's very wise stuff from you, Elijah. We're talking to Elijah Saunders of the Aztecs basketball team. And my last question for you is, when your college basketball career is all over, said and done, how would you like to be remembered by Aztecs fans?
Man,
that's a deep question, Elijah.
Yeah.
I put you on the spot a little bit. I apologize for that.
I would say a winner.
There you go. Know,
I'd say I'm good. Yeah. I would say I'm off to a good start.
Yes, you are.
But you know, someone who, you know, just always has a smile on their face. You know, I just love to play this game. I'm blessed, you know, with this opportunity to be at such an amazing school and, you know, such amazing coaches and teammates that, you know, just a winner, someone who's values winning more than anything and, someone who just enjoys to play the game.
I don't know what I'm going to do with Scraby over here asking all these deep thought questions, but you answered it very well. Elijah Saunders is with us. I remember that guy, Elijah Saunders. He was on all of those Final Four teams.
There you go.
He was on all
perfect. That's exactly what they need to say.
There you go. He was on all of those Final Four teams. Elijah, we talked to some people from Birmingham today. Just get a little scouting report. I'm sure you've seen a lot of film. Sounds like they play a lot of switching defense, some 1-3-1. Offensively, you guys, it's been a little inconsistent. Where are you guys focusing your efforts heading into this game and practice this week?
Yeah, in practice today, we saw a bunch of defenses. We had a lot of live segments where we just attacked them differently. They switched defenses throughout the entire game. You know, you might see a 1-3-1, 2-3, man-to-man. They might extend it to the full court, 2-2-1. So it's a lot. But, you know, it's a style that we haven't really seen this year. But, you know, we'll be prepared. We've already come up with ways how we're going to attack each defense. And, you know, whatever's thrown at us, we'll be prepared for.
Well, I tell you one thing. None of us, even the most ardent of Aztec for Lifers, and I consider myself to be one of those people, having gone to San Diego State, none of us were prepared for what you guys took us through last year. It was a wild ride. It was about the most fun I've ever had as a fan. And I'm hoping, why not do it again? We really appreciate you coming on the show today. I talked to Richard, the media relations guy, and he said, you know, Elijah is a very well-spoken, well-thought-out young man. And Richard was right.
Yes,
we appreciate
was.
Having you on the show, Elijah. Good luck this weekend. We will be watching. And we'll look forward to hopefully catching up with you down the road here.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Very good. Elijah Saunders right there did a good job in the face of difficult questioning from one Matt Scraby there.
I will give him credit. He came up with
a good answer.
Yes, he did.
Almost an impossible question from you. All right. The first final in the NCAA tournament is in the books. It's all over for the Howard Bison. They have been eliminated. The Wagner Seahawks, 71, Howard, 68. Pretty good finish. Howard came from way behind.
Yes, they did.
Got back in the game, had three chances to make a three-pointer and tie the game at the end. Missed them all. So Wagner will go on to face North Carolina. The next game in the first round, Colorado State going up against Virginia. That'll get underway in about a half an hour. But the tournament is officially underway, and for that I'm quite thankful and excited.
How long does that shot stay with you if you're the guy who misses it?
Hopefully not too long.
Yeah,
it wasn't the same guy who missed all three.
Yeah, if that was the case, that would have been tough.
But you
can't ask for a better finish for your team to get three opportunities.
You know, I saw a statistic the other day on Twitter that I thought was interesting. Do you know who missed the most shots in the history of NBA basketball? Who missed the most shots?
Kobe.
Nobody's ever missed more shots than one of the greatest players in the history of the sport.
That tells you something, right?
Yeah, it does. Right?
Yeah. I'm surprised.
Gotta
that
be
I
willing
that,
to take
yeah.
a shot to make some. You're gonna miss a few. He missed a lot. Now, I guess LeBron is closing in on that record because he's been around for so long.
Yes.
But right now, that record still belongs to Kobe Bean Bryant. Not exactly the worst player, just missed the most shots.
Yeah, it's impressive to take the most shots, too.
Well, there you have it.
LeBron's going to break all those records.
LeBron's breaking them all. My goodness, he's not saving any for anyone else.
He is not.
What a hog.
What a ball hog.
A ball hog. One last thing before we go. We have a minute on this. ESPN agreeing with college football in the playoff on a television exclusive broadcast rights deal that will last through the 2031 season.
Hopefully the Earth is still around then. Why did you stop?
That's a fair comment, actually, okay. The way things are going. It is a six-year agreement that will cost $1.3 billion annually.
Oh, annually. I was like, wait, I saw a much bigger number.
Oh, yeah, annually. No, okay. It's going to be like a lot of money.
A lot of money. Hurting.
You wonder why, you know, everybody's got so much money out there. Because TV pays for it. That's why. Scraby's next. He's got the Chronicles. When we talk tomorrow, the Padres will either be 1-0 and headed for the World Series title.
Yes.
Or they'll be 0-1 and headed for disaster. We'll find out which. Hopefully we'll see at the viewing party tonight. So long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.